5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Tech Talk from RNIB Connect Radio, the RNIB's technology show for blind and partially sighted people. See technology differently.
Oh, hello and welcome to the second of our episodes of Tech Talk this week. If you missed the episode yesterday on RNIB Connect Radio for Bank Holiday Monday, don't worry because you probably already listened to it on the podcast. This is very confusing, I have to say, trying to explain this out. But if you're on the podcast, you've probably already heard it. If you've thought, hang on a minute, two episodes this week, what have they done wrong now? Well, thankfully this time around, nothing. You have got two episodes, you lucky people. So go back and listen to that one first. Now go do it now, because you can't listen to this one until you've listened to that one. Okay? That's the rule. Okay, now everyone else can continue. We've got Robin Christofferson with us from AbilityNet. Hello, Robin.
I'm confused.
I'm totally
confused.
Do I
have to go back?
Okay. I think we'll all stay. Should maybe go back and redo that show. We've also got Emails Andy with us. Hello, Emails Andy.
Please don't be confused, because it's me that's doing... I'm the one who's behind the podcast side of things, so if I get confused, then we're all in trouble.
Yeah, because you put them in the order, so if you've got them in the wrong order, yeah, then someone's listening to this first and wondering where the previous episode is, and we will get... emails! Right, okay, we'll get to that in a minute. Callum Stoneman's here. Callum is back with us. Hello, sir, how are you?
Hello, I'm also very confused.
Yeah, I have to say, we're only a minute in, and we're all confused. That makes perfect sense. I'll tell you why I'm really confused this week. Is Sean Priest with us this week? Sean, why are you here?
I have no idea, but I'm not confused. I'm just happy to be here. Hello.
At your age, you're just happy to be anywhere, aren't you? Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, dear. Well, look, we've got so much to get through on the show in regards to emails this week. Robin, before we came on, you said, will we ask Andy how many pages are left? This is a delicate topic, I have to say. So, Andy, yeah, maybe we should ask this question. Where are we in the email list? How many pages do we have left?
Well... this is quite unheard of. We have 3 pages of emails to cover in an hour. We might get to the stage where we run out of emails.
What would hesitate to say this, but this is an all-time low.
This is an all-time
number of pages.
You're not kidding. Oh, you mean the email list? Right, okay. you're right. It is pretty impressive that we've managed to get through the emails. Shall we continue that trend? Shall we just shut up and get on with it?
No.
I'm shutting up.
I think we should get more emails, so everyone just keep sending emails, no matter what it is, even if it's not tech-related, send the emails.
Just send more emails, yeah, okay, yeah. Fine. Email. Right, let's get into it. We get
emails. Send more emails.
We get your email every day.
Send more emails.
Ding dong.
Here's your mail today.
Yeah, let's get into the emails this week. I should say, though, I start with emails. I have got audio to play in as well, and I'm getting some tweets in. Now, I have to say, I apologise to the person who I'm about to say hello to on Twitter, because I can't work out how to pronounce your Twitter handle. I think it's like Uspress or something. I can't say it. I don't even know what I just did.
Yes.
But do you know who I mean on Twitter?
I do.
Follows us and is always saying hello. And hello to you, Uspress. If that's how you say it. I can't pronounce it. Because I have to say, the way that VoiceOver reads it is just... so I don't know. But anyway, hello to you. And very interested to hear, he says, about our experiences of the M1... my experience of the M1 MacBook Air. And I was talking about the remote desktop. Oh, so good, Robin. So good. You can use remote desktop on your Mac. Although it's still a few issues... trying to get some of the keys mapped over, Robin. Are you having issues there to try and use, for example, the insert key on a MacBook keyboard? Because that's a bit of a faff, to put it, and used to technical terms, obviously.
Yeah, well, you have to do that for any kind of remote access to Windows. Well, if it's in a VM as well, you'd still need to do that mapping.
Yeah.
Because the Mac doesn't, you know, accept an insert key as a modifier key. So yeah, you've got to do some fancy stuff there. I suppose you could turn the caps lock key on for JAWS. But yeah, I assign it actually to F1 as my insert
that's
key.
That's really weird.
That's madness, Robin. Why is it all the way up there?
I have one over on the right as well. Just to the right of the backspace. So I have one on either side. But yeah, it's clunky, it's weird. Choose the one you want to remap using a handy utility like Randy Laptops Sharp Keys.
Randy Laptops. I have to say, don't Google that. No, it's not safe for work. Do not Google that at work. Okay, so yeah, ask your doctor if F1 is right for you. Callum, what about you? Is your are you on Jaws, NVDA, Narrator? What are you using?
Well, I use NVDA most of the time, and I've actually got Boot Camp on mine rather than using a VM.
Yes. Ah, okay, right. So, that does help. That does. Well, yeah. Does it actually? Hang on a minute. Does it help? Still don't have an insert key, do you?
No, you don't have an insert key. I've not really needed it, to be honest. I've found the caps lock to be fine.
I still can't work out how to... maybe this seems really simple to me, but I cannot work out how to switch to the caps lock modifier key on Jaws. I've gone through the settings. Apparently, there's another subset of settings I didn't know about. They must have kept that away from me.
Do you use the laptop keyboard layout?
It is set for laptop, yeah.
Okay. Mm. Yeah. Are you on a Mac? Because maybe it's still grabbing it?
So this is the thing, right? I did the whole Sharp Keys thing, which you did, which is using it to remap some of the keys. And that's a great little app. You know, if you do want to change the keys around or just, you know, change around your keyboard layout. You know, if you do nothing else on a Saturday afternoon, change your keyboard layout. Why not? Exactly. But it is quite handy for this kind of setup. And so I downloaded it and I got it to... I set up so that what is that key? Grav key?
Accent below the escape, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Okay, that thing. So I used that as I wanted it to be my insert key. So I set it up, went through the setup to do it, wrote it to register as you have to do so that it enacts it. And it wouldn't work. And then weirdly, I opened up the laptop and on the laptop keyboard, the key worked fine. I mean, it obviously works because it recognises the key, but it doesn't attribute it properly. So I have no idea what's going on there.
Broken keyboard.
Well, something's not right. But I think it's just what the Mac is sending across. The information it's sending across is the problem on the keyboard. Must be a difference.
External
between the
keyboards
keys.
Are tricky to be seen as what they are, and sometimes you have to press the key to the left, to the right of the left shift key to try and identify the keyboard, etc. Whereas, you know, and things do move around, like the grav accent and the backspace slash and backslash. That's why I did it to F1, because F1's always F1, regardless of how it sees the keyboard.
Anyway, conscious of the fact that this episode is going to be entitled Confusion. Andy, I think that's the title of this one.
Yeah, it's the only thing I've written down so far. Yeah, confused.com. Yeah.
Okay,
did I read an email?
No, let's get into the emails. Yes, we have played. We've played the jingle. Will we play it again? Will we just play
again?
Right, okay. There.
Enough time's passed.
Okay, right, fine. Right, that's enough. Right, fine. Read an email, will you?
Ding dong.
Hello. I've just invested in the iPhone SE and I'm trying to access programs with AD on Netflix. And when I click the button to select AD English, nothing happens. But I am using VoiceOver, and I wonder if I need to turn that off, meaning that I can't access the controls. Can you help? That's from Ennis. Best wishes to you all, and many thanks for a great show.
Oh, well, you're very welcome. Right, okay, I'm going to throw this to you guys, because one of you all have done this.
Yes, you don't have to turn VoiceOver off, so using the Netflix app, you've obviously found the audio options button, which is on the screen when you start watching a show. Yes, it should be just as simple as tapping on the English audio described option if the program does have it. I can't think why that would be. You could always try accessing Netflix on a computer if you've got that option and try turning it on through there, because once it's turned on in one place, then it's turned on everywhere. No matter where you access Netflix, it will be audio description will be made available. So, yes, it should work, is the basic answer. Robin?
I was actually going to ask a super beginner question, because, you know, I don't do that sort of TV-based stuff. If you turn it on once, any program thereafter that's got AD, is that automatic, or do you always have to go for that AD option?
No, it should work across any.
Yeah.
We found that out when we when someone else used our Netflix, and we're very confused.
Why is
because they turned it off?
Why is this person speaking all the time?
There is an option. Sorry, Callum, go on.
The only thing that I was thinking is, because I've never used Netflix on the iPhone, but does it depend on? There's a global audio description setting, isn't there, on iOS?
Yes,
I think it's settings, accessibility, and then possibly audio descriptions. I can't remember the exact wording of it. Does it depend on that setting, maybe? Does that need to be on?
Well, I know that's the case with Apple TV. And it's the case basically with anything. Well, I think it's up to the individual apps to build that in, that functionality. If it's available, then it will just appear. But yeah, the best, I think the setting is play audio descriptions where available. And I know if I go to the Apple website or I go to the Apple TV app, as you would expect, then anytime there's something with AD on it, it'll just play. That's the ideal solution. But I don't think that's the case with Netflix. I think you have to still enact it individually. The challenge here, if the person's only able to access this via their phone, is it that problem again, Sean? We've had this before, where you tap on the screen or you double tap on the screen, the controls appear, but only for a number of seconds, and then they go away again. So sometimes the controls go away before you can swipe
to
the
right.
Button.
So once you start watching something, you double tap on the screen to bring up the controls, and they're only there for, I don't know, 5 or 10 seconds. So you need to swipe through really quickly to get to that. I think it is called the audio options button. But if you're getting to that anyway, then that will stay on the screen. Once you can swipe through the various language options or audio options, then that stays on the screen until you're finished. So, I would try, if you've got other languages in there, so, you know, if there's a French audio track, try clicking on that and seeing if that actually does make a difference.
Because when you say...
Yeah, well, I mean, it doesn't do anything for your voiceover, so you'll still be able to find the
button. I was going to say, it doesn't turn your phone to French.
No. So you could still get back and change it back to English. But I'm just interested, when you say it doesn't do anything, is it a case of... Because I've noticed in iOS recently that sometimes the taps aren't being registered. So I need to close down the app if that happens, then restart it, and then the buttons are active again.
That's why some of us use a keyboard.
Yes, okay, very good. So, but what you're doing is absolutely right. It's just strange it's not working. Now, if it comes to it, I would say if you can get a pair of eyes on the case, just get them to turn it on one. Try a Netflix original because they've all got audio description. Turn that audio description on, then it will be enabled on any content you watch from then on. It will automatically default to audio description.
Okay. Eyes are overrated, aren't they? Let's go to another email, Andy.
Dear Tech Talk team, I know there's been some debate on your show and on social media about the merits of voiceover on macOS versus JAWS or NVDA on Windows. For what it's worth, I do like a lot of things about my MacBook, but I must say voiceover is not at all intuitive. And it takes an awful lot of getting used to. As an example, I have a lot of contacts on my iPhone, which are also available on my MacBook, which is great. However, I wanted to set up a group of contacts so that I could send emails to a group of people without having to add them individually to recipients for each email. And I was so stumped that I had to ask Apple Accessibility how to do this with VoiceOver. And I'll summarize the best that I can, but it involved the following steps. Step 1. Create a new group in contacts from the menu. Now that was easy enough. Step 2, interact with my contacts list by Control, Options, Shift and down arrow. Then scroll to the first contact to be added to the new group and then interact by repeating those keystrokes. Press Function, Control, Option, Command and F5 to place focus on that contact. Then push Control, Option, Command, Shift, Spacebar simultaneously to invoke something called Mouse Down. Step 6, uninteract with the contact by pressing Control, Option, Shift and up arrow.
There isn't a test at the end of this, is there?
Step 7, uninteract with the contacts list by repeating those keystrokes. And then scroll to the groups table by pressing Control, Option, left arrow several times. Interact with the group table by using Control, Option, Shift and down arrow. Scroll down to the new group and then press Control, Option, Shift and Spacebar to invoke mouse up. Step 11, scroll back up to the All Contacts element, then uninteract with the groups table by using Control, Option, Shift and up arrow. And finally, step 12, repeat the process for the next contact to be added to the group.
So, so you're saying it's possible, right?
It's possible after a 12-step process.
A 12-step program for creating a group of contacts.
Okay, wow. It worked, and I eventually got my new group set up, but it was a very convoluted process, it did sound it, and then my main question is, how on earth was I supposed to figure that out for myself? Mm-hmm. I've set up a group of contacts in Outlook using JAWS, And while there are a few steps to go, at least I was able to figure them out for myself. With VoiceOver, there is no way to work out how to accomplish this. And as I said, VoiceOver has some good features, and the MacBook is a great piece of kit, but things like this really let Apple down. And don't get me started on navigating lengthy Word documents on my MacBook! They may be accessible, but they're not nearly as usable as with JAWS on a Windows PC. I'd be interested to hear how your thoughts on why VoiceOver is so tricky to use in these situations like the above. How are you supposed to work out that you need to press Function, Control, Option, Command, and F5 to begin with? It's not that sort of thing you're likely to stumble across accidentally. Here endeth today's rant. All the best, Gordon.
I knew this email was from Gordon. I feel bad because I kind of feel responsible for this. You know, I've been going on about how great the Mac is, and I do love the Mac, but, you know, I find with VoiceOver, I can't disagree with any of that. I find that one thing, I love the Mac and I hate the Mac because of VoiceOver. I just feel it is so complicated at times, and it's for that reason that I have a laptop PC as well. Love to just use my MacBook Air. I love my MacBook Air. I just got the, I mentioned this yesterday, on the previous episode, I got the MacBook Air M1. Beautiful machine, fast as anything. My dad just bought one, and I went over to see him yesterday, and he was saying, please, please, can you set it up? Can you set it up? And he doesn't really understand the whole VoiceOver thing, and he's like, he's hearing me zipping through this thing to set it all up, and it's like, wow, that's amazing. And it is, in that bubble, it's brilliant. But when you start bringing these extra applications, especially Office applications, it can be really convoluted. And actually, you know, you're talking there about the Contacts app, which is part of the system. Robin, you know where I am with this. I mean, it's just, I love it, but it is just way too complicated at times. And for that reason, I think for a lot of people, it just puts them off.
I mean, there's a reason why we were talking about VMs and remote desktop earlier on.
Yeah.
Because, you know, for me, the perfect setup is the best of both. But I must admit, you know, for Office, for Outlook, for most productivity, even for surfing, I must say, with Edge, such a brilliant browser, I'm on the Windows side. But having said that, in response to some of his questions, I'm absolutely agreeing with him. It's a much more complicated paradigm. But every screen reader is complicated, and you really do need to sort of get to grips, read the manual, try and find some resources online, etc.
Can I push back on that? Because this is where I think Sean and Callum can come in from the NVDA end, and I can speak from JAWS. So can you, in fairness. I don't know if it is as complicated. I think the difference between VoiceOver and JAWS, if you are or Narrator or NVDA or whatever, right, is that I think that it's complicated by design, whereas you can, at least with the other screen readers on Windows, figure it out through tabs and arrows.
Well,
try that on a Mac and you're just lost.
For me, I would definitely advocate reading the manual, because if
that,
you
against that, that's a waste of time. Who's got time for that? Principle.
Tech people don't read the manual.
Don't read manuals? Come on, who's got time?
I really would strongly advocate looking at the help documentation on any screen reader. If you want to get to a point where you're confident and you can be productive, I'm just,
I guess,
just putting
no, no, I agree, no, and I agree with you on that. But the point is that, to me, the simple stuff is, I mean, what Gordon's saying is he would probably have figured it out on the PC side quicker than he would have figured it out on the Mac side, and he would have had to read the manual. And I would say you'd have to read the manual and VoiceOver for even simple tasks. That interaction model is the problem. If they just get rid of that,
I totally understand. And the interaction thing is something that once you've got the hang of it, yeah, it's a pain, but you know, it's just what you do to interact with different parts of the screen. So all of the VO shift up and down arrows that he mentioned there will become second nature. I'm not for one second saying it's not a pain, but that area of complexity is kind of done and dusted in, like, being able to know what you're doing. It's still a pain, as I say. The other thing that he mentioned there is literally about dragging and dropping and the massive combination of keystrokes for both routing the mouse pointer to the item and then doing a mouse down and a mouse up. I would recommend doing a different option, which is VO comma and VO full stop. That's for start drag and stop drag. And those will do the same thing, and you don't have to route the mouse there. It's to do with the VO focus. So those really horrendous key combos that he was told to do by Apple, support, I would do VO, comma, to start the drag and then, you know, go back to the other place and do VO full stop.
Hang on, I'm asking this. I'm asking for a friend on this one because I should know the answer to this. But does that tell you that app, because this is the Contacts app, right? Mm-hmm. That tells me that that app then is not particularly accessible. You've got to go
well,
through all
that. Well, it's totally accessible because they've got a keystroke to do it. But yeah, it's a mouse operation.
But it's and a mouse operation.
To a certain extent, what Mac is about, the mouse, isn't it? Which is a, you know, it's a shame because, as you mentioned before, being able to tab and shift tab should be your go-to.
Yeah.
But no, that isn't, you know, tabbing through, say, the Messages app and then shift tabbing doesn't take you in the same order. So, yeah, no, I completely agree. Which is why I think it's important to look at the manual. VOHH, twice quickly, is an absolute top keystroke to remember because that will take you to all of those commands where you can then just look down through the list and say, oh, okay, that's what that one is. So that would be another way of becoming familiar with it as well.
I wouldn't be surprised if there was a quicker way to do it. But the way Apple Accessibility have told you to do it there is by dragging and dropping the group together, contacts together, which is sort of a sighted way to do it. I wouldn't be surprised at all if someone's screaming right now saying, well, no, you can do it this way with VoiceOver.
Well, as Robin just said, yeah, with the comma and the full stop.
Yeah, but still, that's using the mouse. I'm sure there's a workaround, isn't it? You know,
That in the FaceTime app, which is a first-party app on the Mac, you have to do a mouse click to bring up certain options that aren't available anywhere else. So, yeah, we're kind of in that space. Yeah.
You not do copy and paste for adding to groups? No?
Not for this particular thing. No, it's kind of mouse. It's a mouse-first environment sometimes. Yeah.
Come on, Apple. That's bad.
I must admit, I sometimes
that
think...
That would be so much easier. Go to the contact, Command-C, go back to the group, Command-V. Ooh,
yeah,
done.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I would also say that, you know, look how much VoiceOver has improved every single year on year, and look at the VoiceOver on the Mac. Sorry, I meant iOS. And look at VoiceOver on the Mac. It has not improved one iota.
Yeah, one of the criticisms that I get all the time is that I'm, you know, this Apple fanboy who just lets Apple away with everything. And I actually don't agree with that. I think that, you know, on this one, I think Apple are, I don't know if they're dropping the ball, it's even if they're caring about the ball, because it just sometimes feels to me as if VoiceOver, although it is good and it is responsive, it's not easy. You know, it's not a simple system. I found it harder to do. I don't know if I said on this show, but I got my Magic Trackpad, and that's been brilliant, actually, for just using some of those iOS gestures on the Mac. That really is helpful. And sometimes around certain areas of apps, that is quite good. In fact, I saw a news story just yesterday about Touch. What is it called? Touch Alternatives or something, I think it's called. This new feature they've brought in.
Accommodations?
No, it's Touch Alternatives, I think it's called. This is a new feature where it's trying to allow... Now, this is for mouse users, but this is to give people who've got the trackpad, for example, the ability to navigate around iOS apps on the Mac. So it's moving us closer to the point where, you know, these iOS apps that require touch are able to be used on the Mac. So this is a new feature that's come out. And I'm just wondering, okay, that's interesting. Obviously, it's touch-based, but could that be... And will that be replicated by keyboard? I imagine it probably will. So, you know, there are some benefits to it. But it just seems like a steeper mountain to climb on the Mac. And, you know, it's funny because someone got in touch with us on the last show, Sean, which is why I kind of wanted you here this week because...
I'm wanted.
Finally, he was wanted. I knew there was a reason we brought you in. I just couldn't remember it wasn't until now. But, you know, there was a lot of talk about NVDA. And we got an anonymous email in from someone who said, you know, I'm going into the world of work, and I'm an NVDA user, should I consider moving up to JAWS? Should I try and learn the Mac? Now, my response to that was, don't touch the Mac. Don't touch the Mac. But maybe JAWS, possibly, if you want to get into the world of work. And I wanted to know where you stood on that.
Well, I mean, my take on anything is if it's working for you as is, then why burden yourself with extra? But the flip side to that is, I mean, the more tools you have available to you, like JAWS and even VoiceOver on the Mac, the more you learn them, the better, you know, the more options you have. With NVDA and Jaws, there is a lot of crossover, as there is with a Narrator as well, with the keyboard shortcut. So it's not like you'll be starting from scratch. So, yeah, why not? You know, grab the 40-minute version of Jaws and give it a go. When it comes to employment, obviously, if there's an app that you need to use for work that NVDA isn't working with, then definitely go with Jaws and give it a go. And I don't think you'll find it too difficult to transition. But for me, I think NVDA usually, for most things and most cases, works absolutely fine. Yeah. So stick with it.
Sean, are you comfortable with the ribbon in Office apps and indeed File Explorer? Yeah,
because I am not.
I always thought it was me not being, you know, smart enough or whatever, but I get so confused there. So an NVDA doesn't have like it doesn't do a virtual ribbon type scenario.
No, it doesn't. You know what? I get by without using it for, it's all keyboard shortcuts. So if I want to, obviously navigating around backspace and alt left or right arrow to go back and forth through folders and tab through the tree view to move around. When it comes to creating folders, you know, Alt 2 creates a new folder. So for most of the things, I don't need it. But yes, I mean, it is accessible, but I just find it really clunky to use. And I still get confused about, right, do I need to tab here or right arrow around or, you know what I mean?
So, and you can get stuck in pop-out things and stuff.
Yes, I really miss just the menu bar.
So in case people are listening and think, well, I hate the ribbon, so I'm going to have to go over to Jaws because then it's got virtual ribbons, I must say, and I think I flagged this last time, it's not a silver bullet by any means. And that's why on a show a while ago now, I mentioned about Alt-Q. In any Office app, Alt-Q to take you up to that little search box and then start typing the command of the, you know, the thing that you want to do and you don't know the hotkey for or whatever, and just arrow down and it'll be in the options and just hit enter on that and you'll be taken straight to that. So that's a way of never having to use the ribbon again.
Love it.
Ooh, nice little tip. But isn't it the same for everything? It's how many times you use it. Because there is, you know, Alt to take you up to the ribbon and then a letter to take you to a certain area, then another letter to choose the option. So it depends how often you're actually up in that ribbon. To be honest, I don't use it very often, so I never remember the keyboard shortcuts.
Yeah. And they're not intuitive. And sometimes it's got a number in there, like it's Alt F H 1 or something like that, which is bizarre. Yeah.
Well, it's a bit, I mean, Jaws says that as well, doesn't it, with the entire space thing. And then you've got the layers.
Oh, well, yeah. Like, that's why you have to read the manual, guys.
Yeah, I'm against it. Look, I want to get to another email. Callum, do you want to chime in on the whole NVDA debate?
Yeah, I think I agree with, what's already been said, to be honest.
Excellent. Well, that's the best answer I've ever had and the shortest on this show ever. Right, Andy, let's get another email.
Yeah, Gordon's email there pretty much finished off page one, so this email is going to finish off page two.
Oh, wow.
Hello, lads. I thought I would chip in a little on the thoughts around the Aftershocks bone induction headphones, mostly so that your audience has an alternative view of how the headphones can be beneficial. I do worry about you, Stephen, and your lumbering around some of the tech. I'm sure you must have the time to play with these devices a bit to look at how some issues can be resolved. You do seem to be a bit impatient.
True.
Any rebuttal?
I want to lumbering? He is surprisingly light on his feet. Just saying.
How dare you? What does that mean?
I am I am using the Aftershocks AeroPex bone induction headphones. Like you, I was looking at what headphones I wanted to use in different environments, but with the key need to be able to hear what is going on around me. I actually went for the AeroPex version because of the headphones after listening to some YouTube reviews. I didn't want to use the headphones for music, though, just for speech-based audio, such as podcasts and YouTube videos, and of course with hands-free phone calls. I know you have mentioned a couple of times how you have a vibration when you have loud volume using Aftershocks and presumably other bone induction headphones. However, God forbid, I think you are not using the headphones in the best way. The trick is to have your phone volume lower so that you are not applying amplification to the sound, RE potential intensity. Instead, have the phone volume set at a mid to low setting and then turn up the volume using the headphones themselves. I achieve a loud volume without the cheek vibration issue. If the vibration occurs, turn down the phone volume and increase the headphone volume. Of course, if you have hearing issues, this might add to the problem. The audio is clear and people calling me through the headphones say that the audio sounds good. The bass on the Aeropex is not great, but there is an equalizer setting that seems to toggle between a high treble and a mid-tone that I say is clear for speech-based activity. I can sleep wearing the Aeropex because they are so light, but also maintain their position while I'm wearing them. And just to be clear, the headband is positioned by placing it more to the crown of the head and not at the back of the neck, and not over the top of the head either. The Aeropex are waterproof and use a magnetic fit for the charging cable, means that there are no fiddly mini USB connectors to mess with. And as a health point, it isn't necessarily a good thing to block your ears for a long time during the day because it stops your ears from airing and this can lead to infection. So the Aeropex allows me to use my hearing fully while travelling outdoors, allows a good use of GPS feedback at appropriate volumes, but also does not risk a potential ear infection. Given my ears are now my primary sense, this is really important to me. I hope this gives an alternative perspective on bone induction roots. The last point to make is not to go cheap on this option. You get the reasonable options, but they can be heavier and more likely to provide a poorer tone. And given these are a longer term option, they are worth investing for your own pleasure and convenience. Best wishes. That email is from Matt.
That's exactly what I said. That's everything Matt said. I said that.
Did you diss the Aftershock, Stephen? Is that what this is about? Are you dismissive of them?
I'll tell you my problem, right? I'm misunderstood. That's the issue here. I am a misunderstood person. I didn't diss, well, I'll tell you what I didn't diss, the new Aftershocks OpenCom ones that I got, because those are brilliant. What I did diss was the previous versions I've had, and it wasn't the Aeropex. It was a good couple of years ago I had a pair of Aftershocks, and the microphone was awful. And in fact, it was Sean Priest that told me the microphone was terrible, because he said, I cannot understand a word you're saying. Not because I was Scottish, but because the microphone... Mm. Well, that was part of it, but also because, you can hear me very well on those. You said it was quite muffled. The sound was pretty poor. And that's always the challenge with these Bluetooth headsets. It is, of course, important that we have good sound, but the microphone needs to be good. And I have to say, the OpenCom ones, they are excellent. They are very good. They do have the extra boom, though. That's the only thing.
Do you have a cheek vibration issue?
Well, I don't know what difference it would be turning the volume down on the phone to turning it up on the headset, because they're in sync with each other, are they not? I mean, it's just the same.
You'd get to the same place.
I thought this, the volume button on the headset just changes the phone volume, doesn't it?
It does, yeah, it does. I mean, it's not an independent volume.
It would make a difference to the actual quality, because it could get distorted if you're up
if
in
it's
the
too loud.
iPhone. But
this is the one thing I did find with it, that you couldn't have the volume too loud, because you would end up with that vibration, which, you know, and I did point this out last time, not to be negative about it, but actually to make the point, because it is important people know that you if you're expecting really loud volume here, you might have a difficulty, because there is that compromise between volume and then having that vibration on your cheek, because bear in mind the audio is coming in via your cheekbones. And as for wearing it, yeah, you're right. It does go behind the crown of your head. You don't wear it down like over your or around your neck. It's not that kind of headset. And I think as well, I have to say this, I do have a huge head syndrome. And this is a big issue where, you know, the previous pairs I had didn't work very well. This OpenCom one isn't too bad.
I can't remember what I was going to say now.
But they do
thinking about whether
for
Sean
horses,
was agreeing with you about his head size. Or...
I find that people, the Aftershocks, right, that they are great. They're not for music at all.
No,
they're great
definitely.
For us, for voiceover users, for screen reader, where you want to hear that, and also, you know, out and about, you want to hear your environmental audio. Fantastic. But I found that they work. Some people love them, some people hate them. I don't know if it's down to bone structure or the way they're wearing them, but some people can't stand that vibration and it's too much. But some people absolutely love them. I think it's one of those you need to try and see if they work.
I think sometimes we get a bit absolutist about this and it's like, well, it works for me, so surely it works for everybody. Well, it doesn't. That's not how things work. And for me, you know, it does, thankfully, these new OpenCom ones, I do think are brilliant. I was a bit worried about them because the one thing they don't have is an adjustable headband. Now, I guess there's a good reason for that. You probably don't want it moving around too much. You don't probably want too much flexibility in it. I still don't quite understand why you can't have an adjustable headband, because it would make the difference for those of us who have larger heads. You know, you wouldn't have so much of a big problem. You could just say, well, I'll just, you know, extend out. In the same way I can with any pair of headphones I buy, I can adjust the headband. Mm. Why can't I adjust the neckband on it? It's no, it's, or whatever you would call it, around the back of the headband. Doesn't sound right. But you know what I mean.
Do you think the buzzing issue could be to do with whether you've got that thing ticked about limiting maximum volume?
Well, I do have it ticked. I don't want it going any higher than it should. I don't. Mm. You know, it's funny because in years doing radio, right, I used to have the volume cranked up as high as it would go. And I remember thinking, I'm going to lose my hearing doing this job. This is going to kill me off. And thankfully, I stopped that very early on. And I don't do that anymore. In fact, if anything, it's quite the opposite. So I am very careful about it. But in saying that, I'm not really, especially with voiceover, I'm not walking around listening to podcasts. I can't do that. I know people do it a lot of the time. Andy, you probably do it. You probably walk around, you maybe put your earbuds in, you walk around. But then
yeah,
you're using
I'll go for a turn. Yeah.
Yeah, but you're using your eyes to see where you're going, right? So you'll see the bus mm-hmm. before, you know, it comes straight through well, you. Hopefully. So, you know, that's in that position. Someone appears to be rebuilding my house as we're sitting here, so that's fun. If you hear some noise in the background, just don't worry about it. Unless say that someone's breaking in trying to get all my Apple equipment. Good luck. But
it's aftershocks. They're coming for you.
Aftershocks are here. They're coming to get me. But anyway, that's the point, right? So I wouldn't walk around with those to listen to that. But if I was wanting to listen to navigation or, you know, get a message or make a call, they are brilliant for that. So,
they are.
Yeah. Definitely worth checking out. Okay, let's move on. Let's get another email.
Okay, the penultimate email. Richard the First has been back in contact.
Hey.
We've had fun with our smart speakers, and Richard's put fun in inverted commas.
Uh-oh.
They came on randomly at high volume. Bagpipes or Westminster chimes are fine, but not in the middle of the night, he says. The two upstairs speakers wouldn't stop when told. The one downstairs did if you shouted loudly enough. Thanks to expert help, we were able to help. And all is well now with Lady A. Technology is wonderful when it works like it should, but infuriating when it doesn't. Oh, and months ago, I enjoyed Hannah with her piece from the TFL team, and what I took to be a delightful hint of a Welsh accent. The more bunny ladies, the better, say I. That's from Richard in Aberdeen.
Oof.
Bunny ladies?
Can't do anything about that.
I don't know what that means. Should I be worried? Should I call a lawyer? I mean, what does that mean?
Well, I got stand up for. I'm just ignoring that. I'm going to stand up.
You stand up for bunny ladies, right? Okay, good for you. You listen, if you want to do that, you're entitled.
I'm going to stand up for smart speakers because it's very rare that something like that happens just as a glitch, right? It's usually either someone's invoked it or
Hang
set
on.
An alarm.
Are you saying that one of our listeners has done this and is blaming the technology?
I'm just saying that's very very rare that
you're
that happens.
You're a guest here.
I'm never coming back. That's a glitch
from the room.
Robin, back me up. It could be something you set up. I would go into the Lady A app and have a look at your history and see what's happened there, because I find that really strange.
Yeah, I mean, on the other hand, I would also say restart your devices from time to time. I was reading an article the other day from a reputable source, which said it's probably a good idea to reboot your phone every, you know, once a week, because it's software. It gets, you know, resources. It has memory leaks. It has gets, you know, a bit flaky or whatever.
Clodgy.
And that's not a giant Clodgy. Step to imagine that it's, you know, would be improved by restarting your phone once a week. So yeah, if you're having trouble, the first thing I would do, turn it off and on again and see if that fixes it. But otherwise, yeah, as Sean says, go in and check that you haven't accidentally, or that it hasn't accidentally flipped a setting itself. But yeah, it shouldn't just be piping up in the middle of the night when no one's saying anything.
Hey, Callum,
I mean,
it has
history in that, though, doesn't it? Do you remember that news story of the Halloween, the laughing?
Yes, that's right.
Back around the time that smart speakers sort of took off and people started investing in them more, there was something that was set up and all of a sudden people were complaining that they could hear sort of spooky laughing going on. It was coming from their smart speakers.
That's right, because it was actually doing this thing where it was going in the middle of the night, and it's like, whoa, what is that?
Yeah.
I am sorry, I would have smashed it into 1,000 pieces if that had happened, because I couldn't, I wouldn't handle that well. I did have a situation once where The one, so there's one connected downstairs in our kitchen. The way I've got it wired up is we've got these little ceiling speakers that are in the kitchen, and we've got the Equidoc connected up to them. And it must have got an update or something in the middle of the night. And that's obviously when they run these things, and it must have said something. And I woke up and I could hear someone talking downstairs, and I'm thinking, oh, someone's in the house. And she's telling me that she needs updated. Okay, I don't know what to do about that. And so, you know, I went downstairs and, you know, turned it all off because I thought that's just terrifying. And especially when it's, you know, screaming out your house in the middle of the night. So it does happen, Sean. So I think you're maybe being a little bit unfair to blame Richard the First on this.
I'm not blaming Richard the First. I'm just saying, you know, we all make mistakes.
I think you were. Actually, Sean and I have talked about this on The Echo Show. Both of our devices, we have the opposite problem, which is actually getting her to respond sometimes. So
well, that's another
the whole
problem,
system
yeah.
is a bit glitchy at the minute.
Callum, are you a smart speaker user? Owner? Probably is a better word.
Yeah, I've got an Echo. I've got an Echo Show and an Echo Dot. The Show works really well. Problem we have with the Dot is, she decides to listen every time we say something that remotely sounds like the name, apart from when we actually want to talk to her. That's the issue we have.
Yeah, I know. I was talking about, we're doing a lot of coverage of, upcoming elections in Wales and in Scotland and the local and mayoral elections in England. And whenever you say that word, election, she just jumps up. She's, oh, hello, yeah. Yes, hi. And then if I ask her to turn the heating off, she's like, not interested. Okay, thanks.
The only thing I would say with things randomly playing in the middle of the night, I mean, two things. Does anyone else have access to the Alexa? The Air Lady app, because maybe they are sort of winding you up, or, you know, set a routine or an alarm or something. Or if you wanted to be a bit extreme about it, maybe change your Amazon password if you really wanted to be sure. I think they'd do much worse, though, than just start playing some music if they'd got into your Amazon account. But, you know, if you wanted to be safe, that could be a thing.
Might be Richard's strong Scottish accent when he's saying set an alarm for 14 minutes and it sometimes picks up saying 40 minutes. So it might be that he's saying set an alarm for...
Well, I'll tell you this, that's impressive, because if it's the Richard I think it is, then he's doing that with his strong Sussex accent. So,
All right.
But I don't know, maybe not. It's interesting, though. This technology is quite terrifying at times. Last night I tried to log in. So I changed my phone. I've got the iPhone 12 Pro Max and the iPhone 12 Mini. And I just kind of took the desire to start using the LiDAR sensor in the Pro Max. I thought, well, I'll just make it my main phone for now. So I switched over. And I did all the setup. The thing that gets me about this is the watch. Because during the setup process, if you're switching phones, it will tell you, do you want to use your Apple Watch with this phone? You say, yes. And then nothing seems to happen beyond that. It doesn't seem to actually connect the two together. It just says, it's almost like it's just asking you, like, just to be nice. Would you like to use it? Yes, I would. Ah, okay. And then just does nothing. It's like, I'm doing nothing with this information, but, you know, I just thought I'd ask just, you know, to be pleasant. Like Robin. Robin would ask that. If Robin was a smart speaker, that's the kind of thing I would expect Robin would do. Would you like to know the time? Yes, I would. Okay. And then just walk away. You know, that kind of thing. So, that's right.
Stand for that, Robin.
That is something that I'd definitely buy.
A Robin smart speaker. I would buy that.
I'm going to go back to where Richard is from, or what his accent is. I've just asked the A-Lady, and Richard the First was born in Oxford, so...
I don't think it's the actual Richard the First, just to be clear on this. I think it would be quite a miracle if it was. I mean, I could be wrong. I mean, I've been wrong before. It was a Tuesday. And, you know, it could be the case that it isn't.
You're right, isn't it? It's Richard the piano tuner, isn't it?
That's right, yeah. That's right.
Yeah, Richard. Sorry, Richard, I made you...
Don't spoil the illusion.
What illusion? What, we have a former king listening to us who happens to be, what, 5,000 years old or something?
Who was buried in a car park under Leicester.
That's not Richard. No, that's definitely Richard. That's okay. That's verging on offensive now.
Are we coming up to the final email now?
Can you tell I'm stringing it out? actually, we did get a brilliant piece of audio, which I don't think we'll have time to play this week, but we did get a comment in from one of the listeners regarding the Google Lookout app. I'm going to save that for next week, actually, because it's kind of more of a demo than a comment. It's picking up off the Technology for Life feature we did a couple of weeks back with Devinder Kula, who talked about the Google Lookout app. And our listener got in touch to say, yeah, it was a good demo, but you know, here's a better one. So we've got that to play for you next week. So we'll keep that till then. But yeah, and actually, we've got another special guest joining us next week as well. We're full of surprises this show. Anyway, let's get to that final email.
Hi, gang, says Kelly. A couple of episodes ago, you were talking about screen readers, which reminds me of the first ever screen reader I used back in the early to mid 80s. It was on the old BBC computers.
Wow.
It was pretty dreadful at the time, but it did what you wanted it to do. Now, how many listeners remember the large floppy disks that you used to use on the BBC computer?
5.25 inches, weren't they?
Yep.
Black. Remember that? It was square.
Yeah.
That's why they were called floppy disks.
Yeah. Well done.
Because when they went to 3.5, they weren't floppy anymore, but we still called them that.
Were they not floppy in the case that they were in?
Oh, well, I don't know about that.
I never took one apart. Stephen used to take things apart.
I love taking things
apart.
Were
they floppy?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Because it's a little disc.
yeah.
That was floppy.
Magnetic.
The second one was HAL, which wasn't too bad, but after using JAWS in 2001, I thought JAWS stood out a lot better. I thought that because I can't be friends with my friends in Devon over Easter, why not treat myself to an Amazon Dot for my bedroom? I was amazed at the quality it gave being so small. I didn't want an Amazon Echo the size of a Pringle can for my bedroom because it's a little bit too big. I just wanted something small to go on my bedside cabinet. So thanks, Robin, for introducing me to it. I love it.
You get a kickback on that, Robin.
Oh, yeah.
Amazon just send me stuff, so yeah.
Oh, do they now?
Mm. Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm in their pocket.
Their
back pocket. Yeah.
I don't see any of that, Robin.
It's funny. That's going on there. Hang on, yeah. So you two do a show about Echo, and they send Robin stuff, but Sean, he's just the filler. Are you just the face of this thing? Are you? Is that how
I must be.
I can send you some first and second gen dots that have fallen off the end of the...
Want my old rubbish? Do you want my old rubbish? I'll send you my old stuff. I don't use it anymore.
That's right.
That old rubbish that Amazon sent me, I'll just swing it on to you and I'll keep the new one. I will say, though, I think, you know, on that point Kelly's made about the Echo, I'm always amazed at the Echo Dot. Now, what one have I got? I've got the, what do you call it, the squashed...
Hockey puck,
yeah.
Tuna can. Mm-hmm.
With the fat. I don't like fat shaming my Amazon Echoes, but this, you know, it's got a bit of podge to it, but it's squashed, and it's really nice. The sound of it is amazing, and you know, the newer one, the new fourth gen, is it we're up to?
Yeah, spherical one.
Spherical one, that is very nice. Really nice sound. But I must say, I think I prefer the Echo Dot third gen. If I'm perfectly honest about it, Callum, do you have a view on this?
Oh, I've only got the... I mean, I love the sound from the Echo, sure. But my Echo Dot is still a... My Echo Dot is still a second gen. And I will not use that thing for music without connecting it first to my soundbar.
I was going to say, is that the little plastic one, isn't it? That is the hockey puck, isn't it?
Yeah, that is the sort of hockey puck, yeah.
Described on this programme by Sean Priest as a wasp in a jar.
Yeah, that's exactly what it sounds like. For sure, brilliant. I've got a Google Home Mini as well, and the sound from that is kind of in between. It's not bad, does the job. But the Echo Dot, second gen, no.
Can I ask you a question, Callum, right? This is a serious question I'm asking you.
Yeah, go on.
Oh, serious.
Oh.
How much do you use your Google Home versus your Amazon Echo?
Not very much.
See, I'm the same. I'll tell you how much I need to plug it in first. That's where I'm at, right? I've got it sitting there.
It's here on my desk next to me.
Yeah, so it's mine. It's not plugged
in. Oh, it's plugged in. I use it for the radio while I'm working. Well, not in meetings, obviously. I think the thing for me, though, is that the other thing that annoys me about the Google Home is that with AirLady, everything's in one nice little app. Whereas Google Home, some of it's in the Google Home app, some of it's in the Assistant app. It's just not as sort of intuitive to get things set up. But for general questions...
And I would actually Google argue Home that... I mean, you would think... In some respects, we should be all over the Google Home, I think, because the search is better. So the results would be, I mean, it's the home of search, right? I mean, what better device could offer that? And in audio form as well. But it's the skills. There just aren't. I mean, the thing is, it's not that there aren't the skills. There are. They don't call them that, do they? They call them actions on the Google Home. You know, Robin, why stop mucking around with that Amazon Echo. Start playing with Google Home, will you? Make a podcast about that, and then we can all figure out how to use it. It's on you.
How many actions are there?
I don't know. That's your job to find out.
Well, I might run out. That's the problem.
I think there's
already up to 1,550 odd.
Yeah, but the thing is, I think there are probably the same amount on Google Home. It's just that it's how to invoke them, what they do. You know, if I ask my Google Home, what do you do? She'd tell me the same thing three times in a row. And it's like, right, okay, you know, I know how to do that. Or, you know, you can tell that I can tell you the time. Oh, big wow. I figured that out 10 years ago.
No, the Google is great for those general questions and web searches is fantastic. But for everything else, I'm not convinced that Google are as invested in the smart home. I mean, the Echo is just so mature and so ahead when it comes to routines and things like that and timers and everything.
But it's age, isn't it? Echo got here first. And bear in mind, the Echo was in development for years before it launched. I'm sure that Google Home was as well.
Depends what country you're in, you know. It depends what country you're in, whether this country, which one got there first.
Yeah.
But they still, I just don't think they're quite as committed. There's nothing wrong with it, but I think the Echo has
the edge. Don't think they're committed. No wonder you don't get sent stuff. Right, okay. let's get back to Kelly's email.
I no longer have a radio cassette and talking digital radio. It took up too much space.
Quite right.
All I have is my Sovereign memory stick player and my Amazon Dot.
Nice.
I still have my Pringle can Amazon Echo in the lounge. Now, before I go, I thought of a theme tune for Tech Talk. I think We Are the Robots by Kraftwerk would sound good. Take care. All the best. That's from Kelly in Loxford.
I've never heard of that.
Nice. No. Someone asked their Echo to play it.
Yeah, Robin, can you play that in?
Yeah.
Are we allowed?
No, it might be filthy.
Of course we are. This is the radio, you know. You can do what you like
play
on the radio.
We Are the Robots by Kraftwerk on Spotify.
Oh, right, we'll find out in a minute, yeah.
The Robots, 2009 Remaster Radio from Spotify.
Oh, it's all right. It's a radio version. That's okay. That means it's not version. Swearing.
Oh, right. This will be edited out of the podcast.
Ooh. That's
5, 4
emails. We get emails.
That was a dance, wasn't it? They're like the robot dance or something.
You're so with it, Robin. I got to say, I'm bored.
Turning it down.
Is that? I don't know. What I think of that. I mean, maybe it gets going. Maybe it's one of those. You know, it's kind of
because it said radio. Does that not
sure
mean like
the
a playlist?
Right one?
Yeah, I don't know. Alexa, what's playing?
This is Trans Europe Express, 2009.
No. Sorry, Kelly.
Alexa, stop.
Yeah, well,
smart
no wonder
speakers,
still.
They're wow. rubbish, aren't they?
Yeah, get that's terrible.
Why do you even bother? That speaker.
Let's go back to Butler's.
I bet you asked Google to play it, we'd get it right.
Yeah.
Shall I try it?
I'm switching streams.
Yeah, try it, Callum. Come on, let's see if we can get the right one.
Oh, hang on. I don't know how well this will come through, actually.
Well, let's try
otherwise.
It.
What was it? We Are the Robots by...
Kraftwerk, wasn't it?
Kraftwerk, yeah.
Hey, Google. Play We Are the Robots by Kraftwerk.
Everyone's smart speaker is now playing that. Sorry.
I can't hear a thing.
Just turned it up. It doesn't seem to be playing yet.
Yeah, turn it up, fool. Put it up to 100. Okay, nothing's happening. Well, that was pointless.
You not hear that?
Oh, hang on. I can barely hear anything of it.
There's just some weird robotic noises, basically.
Well, you know that Zoom tries to cancel out background noise that isn't stalking.
That's right. It's probably Zoom is fighting against Google right now. Yeah. I mean,
I wasn't expecting this, so it's not in my mixer.
Listen, nobody expects anything from us, so don't worry about it.
It's like the Spanish Inquisition. I think we need to listen to that and,
We should invest.
Come back to Kelly.
We should at least invest 10 seconds in that decision, I think, for sure. No, that's very interesting.
Guys, the inbox is empty.
Oh, Well, well done, well done, everybody. Well done.
Andy, oh, you're fired.
I'm out. I haven't got anything to do anymore.
You'll have to email tweets. In. Otherwise, tweets. Yeah, you'll have to get rid of Andy. So basically, if you want Andy to stay, email techtalk@rnib.org.uk.
I also accept, yeah, anything from Twitter, any voicemails you want to send across, love letters, PO box address for coming soon.
Oof.
How else can we get people to contact us?
Pigeon.
It's empty.
Yeah.
It's gone.
I feel like we needed a sound effect for that momentous historical event.
Oh, that involved like prep and thought and consideration. And who's got time? I'm trying to read a manual here for Jaws. You know, I mean, come on. What else do you want from me here?
Alexa, fanfare.
Listen, just a quick note on next week's show, because we're back to one episode next week. We'll be rejoined by our... Oh?
That took a while. Carry on.
Right. Talk about... You know what I love about this show? It's the timing. It's the timing, I think, that does it for me. I love that on this show, everybody's a producer. I just love that. Everybody just starts playing stuff in. It is brilliant. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Well, zero inbox.
Yeah, we get it. So,
Robbie plays that every time he enters a room.
He's got that. He's just got that button just on the door. He's got a smart button. Just press that and that plays as soon as you walk in. That's cool, actually. On next week, we'll be joined by Sue Dunn. Now, Sue is from Kirklees Visual Impairment Network, and she's going to be talking to us about the tech she uses and how she's coped over the last year during lockdown, because, of course, you know, it's been a difficult time and a lot of people have had to very quickly get used to technology. And it's not like for us geeks sitting here, you know, going on about how great everything is and, you know, how easy, you know, oh, everything's great, it's on Zoom. But, you know, if you don't know your stuff with this, it can be quite difficult, right? So Sue Dunn's going to join us to talk a bit about that. And we're also going to be joined by... Oh, hello. We're also going to be joined by... that's your fault, Robin. You were pressing buttons. You've been screwing it all up. We are also going to be joined, of course, by Tim and by Emails Andy, although next week he will be known as Andy. And Robin Christofferson as well. Sean, thank you for coming on. Callum, thank you for coming on as well.
Thank you.
And we'll catch you again on another... Tech Talk. And keep in touch. Do emails. We need emails. We need your emails every day.